C1P. Number 14B.
In order to illustrate that even more, she goes on and says, now, look here, just compare a metaphysician and a physician, how they would deal with the same case. How would the matter physician tackle it? He would naturally tackle it as a surgeon, say, and would tackle it as if matter would have the reins of government in its own hand. Whereas the metaphysician, he would tackle it differently, and he would really see that truth is the corrective and the alterative. A corrective and alterative. But how? And she shows, because that science that she presents reaches every part of the human system. It reaches every part of the human system. Just think about that tree or so, about the body, that it reaches every leaf. It reaches every leaf through a terrific, complex system. So a wonder of wonders how every leaf gets all what it needs to get so that it shows forth a healthy form and everything that it needs. It is, she says, this system is like it searches the joints and marrow. See, it searches out every little corner. It is not just something that is a one statement, as if the whole body would just be one big amorphous mass and say, well, truth heals that whole thing. No, that truth is terrific. It works through the metaphysical system according now to categories and subcategories and classification and subclassification until every infinite detail is reached, and thereby restores the harmony of man, and makes then that momentous statement that has always impressed us so much, that she says, both science and consciousness. See, we are at the point of truth and principle. So both science, principle, and consciousness, truth, are now at work in the economy of being. See, it's in the whole economy of being. In that economy of being, what is the economy of being? It's just that very system where every part of that system finds its right place in the whole and is therefore there provided properly, is guided properly, strengthened properly, empowered properly, so that in the whole economy of being is only one thing going on, namely the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. So it's both science and consciousness that is at work. It's not just consciousness that is at work. This is an overall statement that we say, well, everything is a matter of consciousness. That's true. If you have a divine consciousness, therefore you have a good experience and a healthy experience. If you have an erroneous consciousness, the outcome of it is that we have an erroneous experience, that we have a sick body. But it does not yet say why on earth such an erroneous consciousness should make one part of the body sick, a special part of the body sick. Why not the whole body sick? Why only a special part? Because it symbolizes as a counterfeit, it symbolizes really that in that consciousness there is also an economy of a system. The economy of a system is always that there is a terrific good organization. The moment something is very well organized, then the economy of that thing is granted. Else the economy is not granted. It's just a lot of waste going on. In order that economy is granted, you need a system, a government through system. So if that imitates an idea, And everything in the human we know, and everything in the material, is never an identity per se. It's always simulating a divine idea. Therefore, there is always a divine idea behind everything that happens as a material belief. And so behind the whole very complicated system of the body is actually that very complex system of divine consciousness, that divine infinite calculus. And a calculus always operates according to a system, never just by making statements. So here is the terrific demand that truth demands a principle, and that principle demands categories. And that only if science and consciousness, both, are at work in the economy of being. It's not enough that just consciousness is at work in the economy of being, because it may not be economically at work in that economy of being, that it is not rationally at work in that economy of being. So we need to see that consciousness must be scientifically structured. That's really the whole pith, say to say, of John Dolly's teaching, or of our teaching, that we say what we really want to establish is that man has a consciousness that is scientifically structured. Not the consciousness that knows a lot of single truths, of atomistic truths. That's religion. That's what we have tried to do in the movement since time immemorial, nearly. Over 100 years, statements, 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 statements. That's not really a consciousness of science. It's a consciousness of truths, in the plural. And therefore what we must culture is that we get away from statements and begin to reason only in categories. I don't know if you understand that what I mean. I can't explain it simpler than that. See, it means in mathematics, it means not to learn as many calculations as possible. It means to learn in mathematics, to learn the categories of mathematics. Do you know what addition is, what the rules of additions are? No matter if you use that rule of addition to add 23 and 57, or if you rule that addition to add 520 and 766, that is not interesting. The rule of addition is what is interesting, not the application to the millions of possibilities. That is not of great interest. The of great interest is, do we know the categories of mathematics? Addition, subtraction, division, multiplication, then fraction, and so on, and so on, and so on. That is what we learn. Not the infinite possible calculation. So, in our subject, we should do the same. Instead of constantly reading our head off with all sorts of books and statements, and I don't know what, here a statement, there a statement, here a nice truth, and there a nice truth, we should get rid of that. Throw it right overboard. I would always like to say to all the Christian scientists that come to me to the class, I would like to say, throw everything overboard what you have learned up to now, then I can do something with you. But if you hold on to all that piles of stuff that you have been reading, all isolated statements, it only stands in your way, because you think you have something and you don't have anything. Because the only thing that we need, and need very badly, is to be able to think according to categories. And you can see that now, by now a bit, you see, that you begin to see that practice, as is shown here in that textbook, is really not what usually a practitioner and patient belief practice is. Namely, to know how you heal a certain case. What kind of specific truths you have to take up if you have a patient that suffers under the disease A, or B, or C, or D, or E, or F. This Mrs. Eddy doesn't teach that. She teaches the system of treatment, the system of practice. And that is a very simple system, namely the system that builds, first of all, on the seven synonymous terms. Then, afterwards, shows that these seven synonymous terms have a calculus, that you can put them into very definite relationship. Into the relationship first, in the first part of love and mind, in the second part of truth and mind, in the third part of life and soul, and in the fourth part then of love, truth and life as spirit. And then you can go further in that system and split it up further. Like you go along now the stem and the branch, then you can go to the twigs and see that in the first part, if you have a consciousness of love and mind, that you can now say, and how does that look from the point of view of mind and of spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love? You see what you do? You flow along a system and categorize it and subcategorize it, and that's all what is shown here. Both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being. They are at work in our economy of being. No matter if that economy of being is the economy of our body, or the economy of our business, or the economy of our life, they are at work. They govern according to a system. And that, I think that's why the platform is so necessary, because that is the greatest sense of giving us the categories of being. And I think that's why then the 14th chapter will be so necessary, because it shows how those categories are channelized towards Christian science, towards solving problems. Yes? I think that's it, you know. That's it. That's truth, reflection as principle. That we reflect in consciousness the science that exists. And science means system. Science means categories. Science does not mean 10 million facts. That's not science. Science means system. Science means knowledge reduced to a system and embodied in laws and in orders, and shown their relationships. Do you feel at the end of this week that you must approach really practice differently than perhaps you were thinking up to now? That it is something very different. That the way perhaps one has approached it up to now was purely metaphysical. It was metaphysical treatment, taking a situation that is material, trying to see what is the idea behind matter. Reasoning from matter to spirit, reasoning from error to truth. It's as stupidity can be, because error never reveals the truth. Never. But that's the usual means of treating. Going out from a material situation, a material condition, you have a backache. Well, a backache, what is the back? The back is that which backs you up. That what backs up being is principle. So you treat your backache with principle. That's the kind of reasoning. It's as stupid as stupidity can be. And against ignorance, even the gods fight in vain. So we better leave that whole thing and start right from scratch and see that there is a principle behind the textbook. And start with that principle and reason from that principle and reason along the categories of principle and arrive at the right idea, which is the fact about every counterfeit. Then we have a scientific practice. Yes. Well, that was a little diversion from the text here. Then we go to the next subject, life. And the epitome that we have here is that truth reflection has a renewing effect. So you hear here life, the renewing, the newness of life, that naturally should be the outcome of what? Of soul being the transforming power, of principle now leading that transforming power into the proper categories and channels so that it reaches every point in the system, doing to that point in the system what? Bringing life instead of death to that point, therefore renew that point in the system, which is actually healing. So Mrs. Eddy presents here that newness of life in various ways. She tries to symbolize one through one symbol that newness of life, namely through hereditary diseases. It says hereditary diseases, you see, that's a belief that life is not always new, that life is not the spontaneity of life. The counterfeit of life says that your present state of life is dependent on the past, what has gone before, whereas the true sense of life is that you are constantly drawing from the infinite one life directly. So hereditary diseases here are taken as a symbol to symbolize that they must be overcome through the newness of life. She tells here that hereditary diseases do not exist per se, that they are a belief, but only exist in belief. So that because they are not something that exists, they can be, what is now the term for, they can be ineradicable. What is the positive sense of ineradicable? Radicable? Eradicated. They can be eradicated. That belief can be eradicated. That's the tone of life. The belief can be destroyed. And if that appears, then if we put out, and how can you eradicate it? By putting the belief out of thought, and then the belief disappears. And in the same way, she takes up the sustenance of life and says, is life the sustenance, the provision of life, the newness of life, or can matter give us newness of life? So she takes up the sense that matter has no newness of life, that matter cannot sustain life, but also that matter cannot destroy life either, nor can matter destroy men. Can you hear all about life and its destruction? Whereas instead of matter, we have to see that spirit forms anew and gives more immortality than anything else can do. So, by taking those two examples, that matter cannot destroy life, that hereditary beliefs cannot destroy life, that they have no life nor death within themselves, she naturally now shows that really the renewing effect comes from the way of life. That by going the way of life, we have a renewal of life. What is that way of life? She says that way of life is, and that's very interesting, keeping a high goal before your thought. Can you see now you have a way? You are not looking backward like the hereditary beliefs. You are now looking forward and say, what lies before me? And so we have a high goal before our thoughts. And this way of life with a high goal means to understand that before us lies life and that there is no death. That disease cannot destroy life, that there is nothing that can take away life. But the way of life is that which says it is a quickening into newness of life if we understand life. So it's a great sense here that understanding life is life eternal. This is life eternal, that they shall know the true God and Jesus Christ, as the Bible would say it. So this understanding will quicken us into newness of life, and this will master a desire to die. It will also master the dread of the grave. And therefore, in this way, she says, we will destroy the fear that besets mortal existence, so that we are ushered in into the new sense of life and of existence. Well, that's the tone of life. And I just want to recapitulate these three tones. They are so clear. Again, we just have to see the big line, you know. The detail you can read at home and can go over those notes and so on. The main thing is that when you go home, you have some kind of the great flow of those categories. Huh? You really flow along certain terrific categories here in that that fourth part. It is that mental treatment illustrated is the title. And there's those three blocks. And we have taken already two of those three blocks. We have said the first block is that love and spirit, meaning love is reflected in perfection. So you go out from the sense of perfection. That perfection is always the right state, the natural state of being. And there we begin to see, can I have really a state of perfection within me? You can have it with your mind, by seeing that state of perfection is a state of perfection that has been created and seen by the one mind there is. And this shows that there has never been, this is the point I want to bring home, and this shows that there has never been a cause that could ever conceive of a disease. If we say that disease has a mental cause, we have to go further than that and see, no, in being there is one mind, and that mind can only conceive of ideas, can only conceive of perfection. Therefore, there has never been a mortal mind that could perceive of imperfection. Never. And you go right to the root of everything. So that there was never anybody who was thinking something wrongly or negative. There was always only one thing going on, namely that mind is the primeval conception of everything that is conceived and that is created. And you wipe out, so to say, in one great sweep, so to say, the possibility that there is a mortal mind producing disease. And that is, at the point of spirit, the normal state of things. Therefore, the balanced, normal, frictionless state of things. The natural state of things. The ordered state of things. Okay. Then you come to the second block and begin to see that this perfection has a Christ, has an operative sense. And the Christ truth is that spirit of truth that always will bring about the Christ likeness, the reflection of the truth. How does that operate? And it says it operates through soul, principle, life. It operates through soul because the nature of soul is in the Christ that it says, I'm always going to overturn and overturn and overturn everything that is not identical with me, with perfection, the first block. So I'm working always as a transforming soul. And so you have the transformation taking place. How is that transformation taking place? It takes place through principle. I come to principle. Namely, through a whole system. So that through the channelizing of the categories of divine metaphysics, science and consciousness, you really can touch every part of the system. Even that part of the system where the concept of disease is has to be met. But it shows that it reaches every part of the system, bringing therefore the system of harmony to the whole system. What does it do to that part, to every part which is reached? It brings to every part life. What kind of life? Not the eternality of life, because that would be not the Christ. It brings to that part the newness of life, the exaltation of life, the quickening of life, so that hereditary belief, old beliefs, the past is wiped out. And disease is always a question, is always a belief that it happened in the past. It is not the belief that it happens in the future. So that you are led into the new way of life, which always looks forward and has a high goal in front of thought, and that is the understanding of being. And with that understanding of being, you come to the third block, life reflected as spirit, that we'll take tonight.